W E L well. We P E O we people. So people. No, so S no W E well. Well, people. Have. See. Oh. Compared. This. This guy. To. Dylan. And. Leonard Cohen. But I don't, but I think he is W A way M O way more D oh, down to earth than either of those guys. Don't M A make me look like a fool. Steve.
I'll try. I can't guarantee.
Have Stephen Taylor Ramirez.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thanks very much for that nice intro. I'll try to live up to that.
It's like swimming through molasses on a January night, trying to find my way to you. The moon is like a big apple pie, the stars are inside. Why am I feeling blue? If you'd give me just a chance and a sign, feed my hungry heart. I'm starving for your love, I'm dying on the vine, waiting for our happy days to start. It's like swimming through molasses on a January night, trying to find my way to you. Moon is like a big lemon pie, the stars, they're all inside. So why am I feeling blue? Well, that other guy you're talking to, he don't even know your name. He'd be glad to go with you, with Sally or Mary Lou. To him it's all the same. With just a glance, you stole my will. You made me your slave. I'm in a trance, I'm a zombie for your love. Hunger for you till I'm in my grave. It's like swimming through molasses on a January night, trying to find my way to you. The moon is like a big banana cream pie, the stars, they're all in sight. Why am I feeling blue? Why am I feeling blue? Why am I feeling blue?
Oh, thank you, thank you. Swimming Through Molasses, it's a song about food, basically, and love.
And I'm a nature lover, and I like animals. So I wrote a song about crows. Actually, you like the crows a lot. Crows are laughing. They're laughing at me. Been laughing all day long. Now it's too dark to see. Why don't they fly south, north if that's their need? Why are they always hanging around here, causing me misery? And the crows are laughing. Crows are laughing, yeah. Crows are laughing, laughing at me. When you were my love, the crows, they stayed away. I never saw them in the morning time or at the end of the day. They must have been migrating to some far, far better place. But then you left me. Now they are laughing in my face. And the crows are laughing. The crows are laughing. The crows are laughing. Laughing at me. They must have time on their hands. Here all day long. Don't crows have some kind of work to do? How can they live on just a song? Their coats are blue, black, and shiny. Their beaks are sharp and tough. I hope they don't get bored with this. Decide that laughing ain't enough. And the crows are laughing. Crows are laughing, laughing at me. When nighttime is falling, I can still hear them call. At midnight it's approaching, you know there's got to be a law. Hanging out at trees at night, laughing at strangers must be a sin. I'd call 911, but they'd probably haul me in. And the crows are laughing. The crows are laughing. The crows are laughing, laughing at me.
Thank you. Thank you. The crows are laughing, driving us all crazy. This is a protest song. It's a protest of, there's been an issue over the last few years about women being killed in Juarez, Mexico, just across the border, and it's gone on for a while. And now, you probably read in the news that men are being killed too. There's a lot of violence there now, a lot of drug warfare. So this was a protest song about an issue that continues today. She left her home early one January night. She never returned, as though she'd faded with the light.
her family, they cried. Went to the police department. What can we do? They said, your daughter is dead. People hear us. Y una muerta más. Oye, señores, not one more woman dead. Salió de su casa una tarde en enero. Nunca volvió, como a desaparecida. Su familia lloraron, fueron a la policía. ¿Qué podemos hacer? Dijeron. Su hija no está viva, señores, ni una muerta más. People hear us, not one more woman dead. En su muerte no está solita, hay muchas que son iguales. Se desaparecen y se encuentran muertas y los oficiales no hacen nada, no más tormentan los inocentes. Ahora es tiempo de protestar y gritarle al mundo, señores, ni una muerta más. People hear us, not one more dead. In her death, she's not alone. If of many such crimes we cry, the women they disappear, and they suffer and they die. And the officials don't do a thing. They just torment the innocent. Now it's time to protest. And time to ask the world why. People hear us, not one more woman dead. Oh, yes, señores. Ni una muerta más.
Thank you. A protest song about a real issue.
Continues
this day. And here's a song of hope. A song of hope for the world. I want a world where we can live as one, where our children can all play together in the sun, where we can all walk tall, proud, free of fear. I want a world, one world, Lord, can't you hear? We can't go on in hatred, in fear and in spite. One love is the only answer. No more can we fight. To live a life in hate is to never have lived at all. And without forgiveness in our hearts, we're headed for a fall. Yes, we are. Some say their religion's different, but to me it's all the same. Force is here within us, no matter
what the name. It's hiding here within us, tucked away deep in our hearts. Let's bring it out into the sunlight before true chaos starts. Strife will be our master if we don't stop somehow. Only peace can save us. We've got to find it now. Yeah, it's hiding here within us, tucked away deep in our hearts. Let's bring it out into the sunlight before true chaos starts. We can't go on in hatred, in fear and in spite. One love is the only answer. No more can we fight. To live a life in hate is to never have lived at all. And without forgiveness in our hearts, we're headed for a fall. And without forgiveness in our hearts, we're headed for a fall.
Thank you. Thank you. Song of Hope and Redemption. And this is a protest song, kind of about the advertising business and the way politics works.
They say money talks, and they say bull chips walk, and they say the stock is stock. But when it comes to telling the truth, they balk, 'cause they're only advertising. They're only advertising. They're only advertising to you and me. The politicians are all on the tube, taking us for a whole lot of boobs. Market research puts them in the clear for telling us what we want to hear. Don't you think it's pretty clear that they are only advertising? They're only advertising. Only advertising to you and me. Well, I hope that some fine day, you know, they'll all be made to pay for the times they stood in the way of the truth they dared not to say and got away with it anyway. 'Cause they were only advertising. They were only advertising. They were only advertising to you and me. Well, look real close, you're gonna find they're all of the same darn kind. They're like a melon that's mostly ripe, so let's not pay them any mind. Let them put it where the sun won't shine, 'cause they are only advertising. They are only advertising. They are only advertising to you and me. And me.
great to be here at the Shaman's Den, Frank Moore. Good to see him again, and Linda.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, okay. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here's one that I need to look at the words for. This is a song of love and betrayal and revenge. Kind of a country song.
She works on the TV with a local weather girl, predicting sun and rain and when the storm clouds will swirl. And her man, she knows he loves her, though sometimes he might stray, staying out all night long, coming back the next day. And when he does, he creeps in like a lamb, embarrassed and contrite, bringing 8 dozen roses and loving her all night. She works on the TV, the local weather girl, predicting sun and rain and when the storm clouds will swirl. And her man, she knows he loves her, though sometimes he might stray, staying out all night long, coming back the next day. But this last time, many days pass by, and her man does not appear. And when she gives the weather report, in her eye there forms a tear. She says it's hazy in the north, getting cloudy in the south. In the east it's looking worse, and in the west, and now she's trembling round the mouth. And here at home the trends are worse, getting worse with every hour. So today my forecast calls for a 60% chance of flowers, I mean showers. Soon a week's gone by, and from him she's heard not a sound. She asked her friends what they know. They say, I hear he's around. Last week he was seen with Sandra, yesterday with Linda, then with Sue. I'd give that man his walking papers, they said, if I were you. She said it's hazy in the north, getting stormy in the south. In the east it's looking wet, and in the now she's trembling around the mouth. And here at home the trends are worse, and getting worse with every hour. So today my forecast calls for a 30% chance of flowers, I mean showers. Well, the man finally came home, bringing roses, candy, and more. You know, she really seemed glad to see him as he walked quietly through her door. But soon he started doing poorly, getting weaker with each passing day. They took him to the doctor, who said, there's nothing you can do now but pray. the coroner said, this looks kind of suspicious. And like arsenic poisoning, maybe worse. But we all saw her cry real tears as they carried the coffin to the hearse. But that morning on the early news, her eyes were free of tears. And she gave the best darn weather report we'd heard from her in years. She said it's sunny in the north, it's lovely in the south, in the east it's looking great, and in the west. And now a smile creeps across her mouth. And here at home the trends are gorgeous and getting better each passing hour. And so today my forecast calls for a 90% chance of flowers. I mean flowers. Yeah, today my forecast calls for a 90% chance of flowers.
Thank you. Great to be here. It's a song of revenge and love and all those good things. Mm-hmm. And then I probably have some more here. I don't need to look at the... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a song of love and nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Song for Annie.
With your raven bangs and your gypsy rings, your tattooed shoulders and the gifts that you bring, and the lapdog you carry at your side in a sling. Oh, Annie, how could I ever say I never, never, never wanted you? Oh, Annie, let me tell you, love comes, then it goes. Oh, where no one knows, it's like picking a rose that soon is wilted. Annie, when we each have to go our own way, we'll look back upon this day with joy or malaise through a blue or rosy haze. I leave it to you. Along the crowded sidewalks, the politicians they walk with fate in their pockets. The twilight they stop with their eyes filled with visions and perfume when they talk. Oh, Annie, how could we ever, ever follow them? Annie, let me tell you, love comes, then it goes. Where no one knows, it's like picking a rose that soon is wilted. Annie, when we each have to go our own way, we'll look back upon this day with joy or malaise through a blue or rosy haze. I leave it to you. Across the burning bridges, the gangsters all sing, praying for a prophet to crown as their king. When the day finally comes in that we each do our own thing. No, Annie, how could I ever say I never wanted you? Annie, let me tell you, my love comes and it goes. Where no one knows, it's like picking a rose that soon is wilted. Annie, when we each have to go our own way, we'll look back upon this day with joy or malaise through a blue-eyed rosy haze. I leave it to you. Oh, Annie, I leave it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Love song of nostalgia. Let's see, a little water. What's an interesting studio here. A lot of interesting graphics on the walls. Oh, the sound sounds pretty good from where I am.
D I R Dirk. Oh, there's a picture of Frank and Dirk right there.
Oh, I want to see that.
Dirk sitting on Frank's lap.
Oh yeah. Dirkson.
Yeah, that was the last time we saw Dirk. That was in San Francisco. He had, we were doing a show. What was the name of the place, Mikey?
Blazo Gallery.
Blazo Gallery. And Frank always invited Dirk to come, and he finally did. And he was like the MC for the first segment of the evening and introduced the first band, and it was very, very thrilling for the bands that were playing to have Dirk there.
Yeah, we're talking about Dirk Dirksen, the legendary impresario of the famous Mabuhay Gardens in San Francisco, which was the punk rock club back a few years ago.
Yes. He told us he was May. He was. He may. C. L. Climb. He said he may climb to the top of one of the steep streets in San Francisco and basically kill himself, die, because he had a heart condition and he knew that that's all he would have to do. He was kind of ready to go, basically, he was telling us
was
at that point. Yeah.
Oh my. And he was young too.
But he he died in his bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. What are you saying, more? No.
Well, those are memories, very important and good memories of those days. This is a song about love, another one, different kinds of love.
Some love leaves you breathless, crying for relief. Some love leaves you empty, treasure stolen by a thief. Some love, but this love, it ain't no heartache. This love, it ain't no theft. This love is no salvation. This love is all I have left. All I have left. This love. Some love leaves you happy, laughing like a clown. Some love leaves you weeping, broken and tore down, some love. But this love ain't no heartache, no, this love, it ain't no theft. This love is no salvation, this love is all I have left, all I have left. This love, some love's a rite of passage, it's a milestone on your path. Some love leaves like dead flowers, yes it does. Some love is built to last, some love. But this love ain't no heartache, this love it ain't no theft. This love is no salvation, this love is all I have left, all I have left. This love, this love makes me want to climb to the mountaintop, makes me want to climb up high, makes me wanna touch the sky, wanna raise a banner, wanna raise it high. This love, I don't know, I can't decide. This love, it may be sanctified, but all I know is that this love won't be denied. This love, this love.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a song of love, different kinds of love. And this is about, the next song is kind of a blues. And it's about the, how we don't always see as much as we could and as much as we want to see.
I gotta say, I know a man ain't supposed to cry, that's what they say, but I got some tears inside of me. I wanna testify, deep in my heart there's a blind man. There's a blind man, and he's trying to see. Yeah, and when it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, he can't get his rest, his thoughts go running like dogs to you. 'Cause that's the time he loved the best, now they're over, all he sees is blue. I know they say a man ain't supposed to cry, but I got a gallon of tears inside of me. I want to testify here tonight, deep in my heart there's a blind man. There's a blind man trying to be free. And when the rain comes pouring down, it's too dark for anyone to see. He thinks of you and what it means to be free. He's lived too long in the dark, dark night. He's just a blind man searching for the light. I wanna say I know I ain't supposed to cry, but I got a river. Got a river here inside of me. I want to testify that deep in my heart there's a blind man. there's a blind man crying to be free.
Thank you. Thank you. A little bit of blues.
Long time ago, far away, they judged us by what we had to say. Now we're all fighting for a buck, trying to climb out of the muck. Good luck, and I gotta say, I'm not made for this world today. They're watching us taking names, trying to find the ones to pin the blame for the human frailties that bring us all to our knees. And I gotta say, I'm not made for this world today. Closing all around, keeping out those who haven't found the priestess who holds the golden key to bestow liberty. And I gotta say, I'm not made for this world today. When the bell it finally rings for those of us who can't abide these things, well, you know the gates of the temple will swing wide as a warm wind sweeps all inside. And I gotta see, I'm not made for this world today. And when the worm finally turns inside the heart where life burns, when the sunshine ends the fray, that's when I can finally see I am made for this world today. Yeah, I am made for this world today.
Song of Hope and Redemption, or something of that nature. Let's see. Well, they say that there's a lot of money in teen pop, and that teen pop is very popular. So I tried to write a teen pop song, but I'm not sure it came out exactly right. You know, it's just, I think it came out a little sarcastic or something.
I see you watching me, what I want I can't see. Come on, find our love. What? My love won't be denied. What you got, you hide inside. Come on and find our love. We gotta find it. We gotta find it. Yeah, we gotta find this love. My love is delectable, it's what they say. Your love is detectable. I hope that's okay. But why do you rock so hard, baby? Why do you rock so hard? Mm-hmm. Don't be shy, you can't hide. Love will keep you satisfied. Come on and find our love. You want it, I can see. That's why you're dogging me. Come on and find this love. Your love is precious, that's what they say. My love's infectious and I hope that's okay. But why do you rock so hard, baby? Why do you rock so hard? I see you watching me. What I want, I can't see. Come on, find our love. My love can't be denied. What you got, you hide inside. Come on and find this love. We gotta find it, we gotta find it. We gotta find our love. Your love is precious, that's what they say. My love's infectious and I hope that's okay. But why do you rock so hard, baby? Why do you rock so hard?
About 4040 YEA years too late on that song.
Oh, 40 years too late. Oh, okay. Well, I knew there was something wrong with it, though. It wasn't quite working. This is called The Revenge of the Butterfly. Butterfly, why so blue? Has your love flown away? He'd said he'd never leave, but now's a brand new day. When the storm clouds block the sun, when the thunders sound, dry your eyes and wipe your tears, a new love will come around. Will come around. Butterfly, storm clouds do pass, when the sun does shine, you can kick him in the shins, you can make him whine, you can kick him in the eye, you can drag him through the dirt, you can show him how alive can really hurt, can really, really hurt a butterfly. Thank you. butterflies are not so sweet and innocent. Well, I have a sort of a country song. It's about heartbreak. It's hard to write a country song without, if it's not about heartbreak or drinking beer or something. It's about outsourcing.
I'm gonna outsource my loving. If you don't start doing right, you've been leaving me lonesome. You've been staying out all night. These rings that we're wearing, they don't mean much, it seems. I'm gonna outsource my loving, get you out of my dreams. When I first met you, darling, I was walking on air. You were all I ever wanted. For you, I knew I could care. But these long nights we're having couldn't break my heart more. I'm gonna outsource my loving. Gonna walk out your door. Well, my friends gave me warning. They said she's not your type. They said you were too crazy. You couldn't stand a quiet life. All I knew was I loved you. And you said you loved me too. I'm gonna outsource my loving. Gonna start life anew. Oh, yes, I am. Well, the preacher who wed us bound us to love and obey. I know he didn't count on these cold, cold nights with you so far away. And the vows that we made then surely ended on the day. You outsourced your affection and then left me to say, I'm gonna outsource my loving.
Country song. Maybe one with a little humor. This is about a fellow who put an ad on Craigslist, personal ads, and they said, can we blast it into outer space? And he said, yeah, go ahead. And this is a story that he told me. My baby is a robot sent from outer space. You can't tell by looking at her, she's such a pretty face. Big blue eyes, curly hair, lips all red and sweet. My baby is a robot and her loving can't be beat. My baby, she's a robot, but I love her so. Yes, I do. Mi amor es una robot, pero la quiero. De veras. I heard a clatter in the cornfield late one summer night. I put on my boots and jeans, witnessed quite a sight. A big old flying saucer had landed in the corn. A box fell out with a sign that read, for the lovelorn. My baby is a robot, but I love her so. Mi amor es una robot, pero la quiero de verdad. Well, the box it did open. Out stepped a girl with eyes of blue. I pushed her power button.
And she said, I love you. That night we spent in bliss, I knew she was heaven sent. But those blinking lights kept me up all night. By morning, I was spent. My baby is a robot, and I love her so. Mi amor es una robot, pero la quiero de veras. Well, I woke up late that morning, put my clothes into the wash. My baby's eyes narrowed when she heard the splish and splash. Her indicators turned green. She said, who's that? I said, don't worry, it's only a machine. My baby is a robot, but I love her so. Well, my baby, she's a robot, but I love her. I love her so. Well, the power, it went out one night in a thunderstorm. Her battery started wearing down. No more could we spoon to get a generator. I ran out to the barn. It would not start, not a spark. I went howling at the moon, 'cause my baby, she's a robot, but I love her so. Yes, I do. My baby is a robot, but I love her. I love her true. Yes, I do. She's a robot, but I love her anyway.
When, where is her P.O. power B button? Where's her power button?
Where's her power button? Mm. It's kind of hidden. It's kind of hidden away. Some people wouldn't be able to find it.
O B O O O.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
O.
Let's see. Maybe an anti-war song. It's really the first song that I wrote, and I recorded it, very simple recording on my computer. I sent it into a radio station, and they actually played it. And this was the World One Radio, KECG, here in El Cerrito. Corey Mason is the host, and so I thought I was a star. It was quite an experience, though. Bombs are falling, rockets glow. The air's thick with killing. Does anybody know where I can find my baby? And the bullets hiss. Won't you answer this question? Was that our final kiss? 'Cause the sky's on fire, Lord, there's no place to go. Hey, mister, have you seen my baby? Please say yes. Good God, don't tell me no. Don't tell me no. Well, the bombs are falling. You know I just can't leave. The air's thick with killing. I can hardly breathe. Won't someone help me find my baby? Without her, I'll never go. That's a promise I made to her. Such a long time ago. But the sky's on fire,
my head's about to blow. Hey, missy, have you seen my baby? Please say yes. Oh, no, good God, don't tell me no. Don't tell me no. Well, I'd look in the station. Well, my token's been lost. He was in my pocket, but my coat's been tossed. Onto the burning bushes of this morning's holocaust. Gotta find my baby, no matter what the cost. 'Cause the sky's on fire, there's no place to go. Hey, mister, have you seen my baby? Please say yes. But don't tell me no. Don't tell me no. Don't tell me no.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey. O. Couple. M. A couple more. Do a couple more. A
couple more? Okay. Can do. Let's see. This is a song about the economy. We ain't rich now. We ain't rich now. Now the bursting of the bubble left us nothing but a heap of trouble, and we ain't rich now. Well, the house prices were zooming, stocks were really zooming too. We thought we were the swellest guys around, but now my house is on the block, and I put my life in hock. They'll send me to the poorhouse way downtown. 'Cause we ain't rich now. No, we ain't rich now. No, all our stocks hit the skids. Our bankers flip their lids. 'Cause we ain't rich now. Well, I knew a CEO named Gambling Sam liked to bet, steal and scam. He thought that he would never have to pay. But I found out on Monday, feds caught Sam. Sunday they'll try him, find him, they'll send him far away. 'Cause we ain't rich now, no, we ain't rich now. No, all our stocks hit the skids, our bankers flip their lids. 'Cause we ain't rich now. Sam thought he had it made, buying low, selling high, getting paid. Then he knew that soon the bottom would fall out, and when it did, he'd have to run, leave the small fry holding the bomb as he retired to his villa in southern Spain. And we ain't rich now. No, we ain't rich now. Now the bursting of the bubble left us nothing but a heap of trouble, and we ain't rich now. Yodelay, he yodelay, he yodelay, he yodelay, he yay, hey, hey. Thank you, thank you. We ain't rich now. Let's see, another one here. Well, this is a song, kind of a country song. It's about an empty room. Sort of a country Latin song.
nothing sadder than an empty room. Oh no, nothing sadder than an empty room. You know it's true. Oh yeah, in the parlor no one's there. In the kitchen the shelves are bare. In the bedroom the sheets are tossed onto the floor like the love I've lost. Nothing sadder than an empty room. Oh, you know it's not true, yeah. Nothing sadder than an empty room. Oh, no. We were wrong for each other, I know. We fought too long, we fought too low. The gulf was wide, but the passion strong. Guess that's why we lasted so long. And nothing sadder than an empty room. Nothing sadder than an empty room. Oh, no. Nothing sadder than an empty room. Door, I hear a key. There she stands in front of me. I hold her close. Say, darling, where you been? I took a walk. She said, I saw him. Nothing sadder than an empty room. No. Nothing sadder than an empty room. Deep I'm trying to hide. The wound it bleeds, I keep it inside. Soon enough our passions run wild. And later on we learn we'd have a child. Cause nothing sadder than this empty room. Nothing sadder than an empty room.
One more. Okay. All right. Let's see.
Your F I N A, your finale.
Oh, my finale. Uh-oh. There's a lot of pressure here. I like to dedicate this song to Willie Nelson, my hero. It was many years ago. She left him all alone for the lure of the bright city lights. And that was reason enough to forget her. Yet she still haunts his days and his nights. He returns to the place where he met her, to the cafe where the old songs are played. And he tries his best to be worthy of her love as he takes his place on the stage. He's still chasing the late nights, warm hearts, stage lights, and the memories that just won't fade away. And he's craving for a lover just like the other. Well, that's all, yeah. All that gets him through the day, through the day.
Well, in his youth, the spotlight seemed exciting as he looked out on the crowded dance floor. But lately, the snow on his temples makes him wonder if they'll need him much more. But he's still chasing the late nights, warm hearts, stage lights, and memories that just won't fade away. And his craving for a lover, just like the other, well, that's all, yeah. All that gets him through the day, through the day. Well, he knows his time here won't last forever. As he picks a tune, starts in to sing, and he hopes that his new songs are clever, good enough to draw new love from the wings. He's still chasing the late nights, warm hearts and stage lights and memories that just won't fade away. And his craving for a lover, just like the other, well, that's all. Yeah, yeah, all that gets him through the day, gets him through the day.
Thank you, thank you.
So we'll set up for the interview?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your chair for the interview.
Oh, okay, excellent. Well.
I'll let you move this right, Mikey?
Yeah.
Then D A David.
Oh, David Letterman. Harder questions? Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead and ask.
And the and R? No. Was it and? No. R? Are you? L, R U P, R E P, prepared.
Prepared. Oh, I don't know. When you ask the questions, I will know.
The water is sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
You don't. You are the remind me of. You remind me. M O more of. W I L L Willie. Then Dylan or Cohen.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a big fan of Willie Nelson. He's really had a lot of staying power. You know, he's pretty old, but he's still there doing it, and he doesn't try to hide the fact that he's his age. You know, he just lets the gray hair grow and the wrinkles show, and he just gets out there and plays his music. So I'm a big fan of his music and of his style. And I do like country music too. I like folk and country and Latin, so that kind of fits in with Willie Nelson's style.
How? Oh, how I did. How did you get started? How did you
get started in music? I haven't go ahead.
M W O R working you up to the B H A hard questions.
Oh, the hard questions. Okay.
You're working up to the hard questions.
How to get started in music? Well, I got started taking music seriously maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And so I haven't been doing it as long as a lot of people in my age group. I started performing my songs about 5 years ago at the International House in Berkeley. There was a music on the steps. And the way I got started writing songs is, it was strange, but I never could write songs before. I tried to write songs, and I didn't have any luck. They all sounded pretty lame. And then I met up with a fellow who writes for the East Bay Express. He's a critic. You might know him. His name is Jay Poet. And he's also a songwriter. And he was looking for a guitar player to accompany him while he performed his songs. And so I decided that sounded like a good idea. And so we went over his songs and slowly learned them, and he gave me little pointers on the craft of songwriting. And I think that really helped me, and I started writing my own songs. And I really enjoyed it. I still do. And that's all thanks to Jay Poet and the fact that he needed someone to help him perform his songs, someone to play guitar.
Before? 5 years ago? You were a R.E. reporter?
Yes, way before, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. Just kind of go back to I started my career as a newspaper reporter in small towns here in California. And I did that for 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to the Bay Area. I did a lot of freelancing. And I discovered that you can make more money in publicity work, in public relations. So I did some publicity work as a freelancer. And then I got a job at it, regular job. And I worked in the technology business in marketing for about almost 10 years. And then Then I got into music. So yes, before I was a songwriter, I was kind of a journalist, but more specifically, I was in marketing, technology companies, for technology companies, computer companies.
Did you? W have any C L U clue that you were a musician?
Well, sort of, yeah. I'd been playing guitar since I was a teenager, but not very seriously. And I even had trouble tuning the guitar. But then they came out, they developed these electronic tuners. And so that solved the problem. And I got an electronic tuner, and I realized that I could tune the guitar with this thing, and it would sound a lot better. So that kind of got me started.
S. So U L O O look O L D you look old, but you <It's true. laughs> are really a young M U musician.
That's true. I am old, but in terms of being a musician, I'm pretty young. Yeah, that is true.
Do how P how does that F E feel?
Well, you know, that's a good question. How does it feel? Because I thought about that.
S C I M not like David Letterman.
Wait, so the question is?
He said, see, he's not like David
Letterman. Oh, you're not like David Letterman. No, you're a little more direct. How does it make me feel? Well, you know, I realize that I'm really pretty old to be in music. But I still get booked places and I get gigs. You know, I'm playing The Plow and the Stars in San Francisco on Clement Street August 19th. And I played there just a couple of weeks ago. And I played La Pena, and I played The Starry Plow, Make Out Room in San Francisco, and a bunch of other places, a bunch of coffee houses. And I'm really always kind of surprised when I get booked at a gig, because I am a lot older than probably most of the performers there, in many cases, and also than most of the audience. But I always have fun, and so I just keep doing it and doing the best that I can.
The, but, C, L, C, O, M, compared to B, L, A, black, blues, musicians, you are young.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, in blues, there are a lot of older people, maybe older than me or my age. And also in country, there are a lot of older musicians. Mm. Not so many, you know. I mean, there's definitely age discrimination there with getting on the radio, with country radio. But I don't listen to mainstream country radio anyway. I like the classic old country.
Who does?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's just commercial. It's like, I don't know, it's like 70s rock now. But I do, yeah, and you probably, if you like country, Frank, you probably like the classic artists, like, well, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard.
I do some his I do some. I do Frank Sinatra. Frank. I do Frank.
I like that.
S. P. I. N.
Spins Hot Wax.
Oh, Frank has a show on Lover called Frank Spins Hot Wax.
Oh.
And I. Play. A lot of country in that show.
Great.
Show.
Yeah. I should really listen to it because there's so much to listen to, and I haven't gotten to your show, but I definitely should listen to it.
Tuesdays at
10 p.m.
10 p.m.
At 10 p.m.
It runs all night, although there's a lot of impromptu playing of Frank Spins Hot Wax when other shows aren't scheduled.
I see. Okay, yes. Well. That's a little, yeah, it's a little bit late for me, but...
Do you get up early in the morning?
7, maybe.
No, it plays until 8.
Oh, it does.
On Wednesday morning.
Oh, wow, so it's an all-night show.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who, what, do, you, do, a, as, a, d... A day job?
Day job, I do publicity work for performing artists. I'm doing publicity for the big Festival of the Harps coming up October 3rd at the Chapel of the Chimes in Oakland. Going to be more than 50 harpists playing. And so I'm doing publicity for that. And I work for singer-songwriters and a variety of performing arts.
E-A-L, real, H-A, harpists, real harpists, don't, did not, not B, not H, A, R.
Harmonica players.
Oh, real harpists, yeah, the big harps, as opposed to the... The harmonicas, the blues harps, or the French harp is what they sometimes call that. Oh, yeah, and it's really a variety of harps, Celtic harp, and then there'll be some jazz harp and Latin-style harp. So it's going to be quite a variety, really probably every type of harp and harp playing that you can imagine is going to be there October 3rd at the Chapel of the Chimes here in Oakland.
Why? No. How? What? Oh. Other. C. L. I. Clients? Do you have?
Other clients. Well, another client that I worked for recently is a project called Project Luz. Luz is Spanish for light. And they had a fundraiser in San Francisco, and what they do is they teach photography to disadvantaged children in Mexico City, in really one of the poorest parts of Mexico City. And so they every now and then have a fundraiser to bring photographers down to teach the children the photography skills. And to give them cameras and that sort of thing, and just keep the whole thing going. They have a budget of, I think, $7,000 a year, which goes further in Mexico than it does here. So Project Luz is another one of my clients.
What? When? When? Should? Whenever? Whenever? My, we, are, whenever we do a fundraiser, right, we lose money.
Really? Fundraisers are difficult. I think they're more difficult now with the economy. Yeah, it's not so easy to raise money now, or to sell tickets to live music performance. It was better when the economy was booming. Yeah.
But I, J, U, I just, P, I, P, U, pulled, O, pulled out of, what was it
Far
called?
West Fest.
Far West Fest at Point Reyes. We have been making the circuit of festivals with a table for
Lover. That's right, because I saw you at the 40th anniversary of People's Park.
Yes, with our Lover table.
We hooked up there, and that's why. Yeah.
Yes. So we had paid our fee to have our booth at the Far West Fest, and there was never any mention. Number one, that it costs any money to get into the festival. It turns out it's $30.
Oh, it is.
They send out press releases and don't even mention that there's a cost to go in.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
That's not cool. And then we just got notification from them. It's like, 2 weeks before the event, a week and a half, letting us know that there's a limit on how many of us can get in to man our table.
Wow.
And it's one person for a nonprofit, I think, and it was two people. They said they'd give us that extra one or something. And after that, the people have to pay to the rest. And there's usually six or seven of us at the table, as you saw.
I saw your booth. Yeah, also at the 4th of July festival, the World Wine Festival.
Yes.
I said hi to some of your friends there.
So at that, we pulled out. We canceled our booth because of that. It would have cost us over $200 to have our nonprofit booth at this festival.
That's pretty. It sounds high. There's another festival coming up. I think it's $60 a table. It's going to be at Golden Gate Park. It's being put on by Independent Arts and Media, a nonprofit organization that I know in San Francisco. And it's really a place where, you know, people who are in the arts can put up tables, and I believe it's $60 a table, and, you know, pass out flyers and try to raise interest and perhaps, you know, raise funds. That's going to be in September in Golden Gate Park, and there'll be live music there, too. I went to it last year. It was a lot of fun.
We have G, we have F, I, F-U, fun at festivals. And we have a lot of fun at festivals.
Do you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I, R, A, ran. Frank ran for president last year.
Oh, right.
And that's how we discovered festivals, because that was a way, since we had no budget, that was a way to meet people and talk to people about the campaign, so we did a bunch of festivals. We had so much fun with that, we thought, well, how can we do it again? So we decided to do it for Lover as our topic. And it continues. You know, we pretty much just hang out at the table and talk to people.
I've noticed that there are a lot of people at your table, and they're all friendly. They're kind of fun. They're fun to talk to, and you have brochures and things there to get to tell people about the organization.
F and free CDs, a bunch of bands that play on Lover
CDs.
Donated CDs.
Oh, really?
So
we usually have
a basket of free CDs there.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'll have to drop by your booths more.
But. But all of the S U, all of a sudden, the, well, I think we had six total for the summer. So we had two more scheduled to come, and the Far West Fest we canceled because of the fee. And then How Berkeley Can You Be, we found that isn't happening this year.
Oh, it's not happening this year.
They're not getting the financial support from, I guess they're still getting money from the city, but they're also getting an $8,000 charge from the city to help pay for the police and such.
Oh.
So it kind of voids out the money they get, so they can't really afford to do it.
I'm sorry to hear that. I was actually in that parade once a few years ago. We had a flatbed truck, and I had a band on the truck.
It's fun, isn't it?
It was fun.
We did. We did two of them the last 2 years.
Oh,
it was kind of the beginning of the. It was the beginning of the campaign. I think the first one we did, and then the second one we did the following year was the last event before the election.
That must have been last year. That was the last How Perfect Can You Be parade.
Yes. Yeah,
festival.
It was really fun because Frank, we thought about having him like in a truck, but then we thought, well, it's so much more fun to just like wheel along the path. And we had our two painted cars with all of our Frank Moore for President vinyls
affixed
to it.
Oh, that would
and
be
decorated the cars with balloons and all sorts of things. And Frank and a bunch of us walked between the two cars. So Frank was able to go and shake hands with people, and we had a bunch of us giving out his platform.
Excellent.
And we found out that a lot of people watch our show on BTV because a lot of people said, Frank, I watch your show.
Now, BTV, the Berkeley
television? It's the public access channel in Berkeley.
Channel 28?
28 is where our shows play.
Oh, good. Yeah, someone asked me that. I have a friend who's a very good soul singer. Her name is Pamela Parker, and I told her that I was going to be on this show tonight, and she said, "Oh, this sounds like an interesting thing," and I, you know, she might want to be on the show. She's quite a good singer.
We'd be interested.
She's really fantastic. So it's going to be on the Berkeley's cable
public access, and we'll send you the schedule when
excellent,
submit it. Yeah.
Excellent.
But. But if you are M-O-M-I-S-S missing the late night version of this show, those BTV watchers, C-A, call the station. And they have made rules. Yeah, the station is undergoing some major changes you might have noticed if you're regular viewers. And part of the changes resulted in Frank's late night version of this show, which if you watch it, usually starts around 1:30 in the morning, and it's repeats of the 400 shows that we've done. So each night there's a different show, and because of the rule changes, we can no longer play that show. And so I know that they have been getting calls, but the more calls they get, the more possible that it will be put back on. So call BTV and let them know that you miss watching Frank Moore's Best Of show that runs through the middle of the night. I B A basically they are T A taking local, taking P, U, public access, public. They're taking the public out of public access. The phone number for BTV is 848-2288. That's 848-2288. Call BTV. Tell them you missed the Best Of Frank Moore's Unlimited Possibilities. They're taking the public out of public access.
That's not. That doesn't sound good.
No. They They are P R I privatizing the station.
Oh, they are. Mm. Oh.
So, for example, the philosophy up until recently was if you're a Berkeley resident, the station is yours. All you have to do is be a resident, and you can just stop by with a tape or a DVD, and we'll play it. Uh-huh. And I think they had, like, we'll play it once or three times or something like that. Uh-huh. And that was that.
Oh.
And you could have series play on the station and not be a member of the nonprofit that runs the station. Mm-hmm. The city gave the running of the station job to a nonprofit, Berkeley Community Media.
Oh, I see.
New rules are that if you want to have a tape or a CD played, it's $5 a time. Mm-hmm. So you have to bring $5 with you to have
reasonable.
Them play. And if you want to have a series, you have to be a member of the nonprofit, and that's a yearly fee. And if you want to have first dibs at a time slot, you have to create your shows in their studio.
Oh.
So even if we're members, because we create our shows here, if somebody else wanted the time slot we have and they create their shows in the studio, they could take our time slots away, even though we've had them for many years and all that stuff.
Mm.
So and it goes on and on.
Sounds,
they've started defining what content you can put in your show.
Uh-huh. Sounds complicated now.
E-W-H-I, which is illegal. That's the whole deal with public access is they can't, you know, as federally defined, they cannot have anything to do with content. If you bring it in, they have to play it.
I didn't know that.
And if it's adult programming, it plays after 10 p.m. But that's the only, you know, the only thing they can do about it. They can't have anything to say about what you play.
Oh.
But that's part of the new rules. But they don't. But they have forgotten that.
They've forgotten their path. They're on a different path now. Oh,
yes.
Too bad. Are they running it for profit now, or just changing the format?
Yeah, I think it's that they're just changing the format. Yeah.
Oh.
In the 70s? What were you like?
Well, I was younger. That's an easy answer. What was I like? I don't know. Could you be more specific in terms of what?
Why? How? No, why were you at the Mabuhay?
Oh, good question. Yeah, good question. Well, I was kind of an angry person then, and punk rock really kind of I don't know, really satisfied the kind of anger that I had. I think it did for a lot of people. A lot of people who
were you angry about?
Well, I was having my career wasn't as a journalist wasn't going as well as I wanted it to. In fact, I got fired from a job at the Napa newspaper, and I was a liberal, and the editor-in-chief was very right-wing, and we clashed a lot, and they finally fired me, and so I moved back to the Bay Area, and I think I had anger stemming from that. I'd been there 2.5 years, and I think it just kind of welled up in me. And also I enjoyed the punk rock and the energy and release that that brought to a lot of people.
Did you F-U-F-I find a J-O a job?
I found a lot of freelance jobs, yeah, and eventually found a job. But I think I was kind of blacklisted from journalism jobs, newspaper jobs, because I never got very far with newspaper jobs ever since that problem at the Napa newspaper. But I did eventually, after doing a lot of freelancing and doing some teaching, I got a job at Vista College here in Berkeley in the publicity area. And then I got a job at Computerland Corporation in the marketing area, and I stayed with Computerland for close to 10 years. And then I got a job at a public relations agency, public relations in San Mateo, and I was there for about a year. And then I became a freelancer in really marketing for technology companies, writing brochures and press releases and that sort of thing. And I did that for about 10 years. And then that kind of petered out with the bust of the, you know, the ending of the dot-com boom. And since then, I've really been a musician and a songwriter and also a publicist for performing arts people and for good causes like the Project Loose that I talked about earlier.
If someone V-G-O-O Googled you, they get P-A pages of P-A-S past G-I gigs.
Oh, if you Google my name, you get pages. Yes, I've played a lot of gigs over the past 5 years or so. Yeah, there are a lot of gigs, and you probably see my name on press releases for things. Like the Project Loose and some of the other good causes and some of the musicians that I do press release work for also.
M-I-K, Mikey, was D, no, S, C, A, R, E, scared, two, G, go, in, to, the, M, A, Mabuhay.
Oh, really? Well, it was... It was pretty scary looking, yeah. Yeah, it did have kind of a scary aura about it. The interesting thing about that was when the punk rock scene started here in the Bay Area, it really started in San Francisco, most of them were art students.
Yes.
And they were really very civilized people.
Yeah.
But they took on this this appearance of kind of a fierce look and a dangerous look. And I think it protected them in a way. They could go out late at night and not be hassled because their appearance frightened people. But really, deep inside, they were just they were normal, civilized, nice people.
T A tame. They were tame. in relation to our show, or what do you, what aspect of it? The way you would scream and quiet them down. Well, yeah, because we had we did the early show, as you know, so we would play to the audiences for the punk shows that would follow us. We were on like 8 or 9 o'clock. And so a lot of times our audience was the people that had come early to see the Mutants or Black Flag or whatever. Yeah. And our cast was like, you know, pretty middle class. They didn't really, you know, in their minds, this was like, you know, some dive we're playing at. And they didn't, they didn't really get what we were doing. It was just an extension of our daily life that Frank had just kind of put a frame around it of this outrageous beauty contest, but it was really just what we did, like who we were. And so when we would have to deal with people like the Black Flag audience that would be screaming and throwing things, the cast was like this. So Frank sat at the front corner of the stage and just screamed right back at them. And this was just like a little side cut. Our show was going on, and then there was Frank doing that, and boy, did they ever shut up.
They must have responded well to that.
They did. They really kept quiet. And if anybody made a peep, he would just scream again. So, you know, they weren't that scary, really.
Yeah, they were not. Yeah, they appeared scary. And their style of acting, say with Dirk Dirksen, he would insult them and really call them bad names, all kinds of crazy things.
Like,
and what do you call them?
Like WWE, wrestling, and announcers. He was like a wrestler announcer.
He was, yeah. And there was a lot of play acting, especially in the early days of the punk scene. You know, it was all really, really acting. And even when they had the mosh pits, you know, it was really very gentle. There was not a lot of really rough violence of any kind. And there were a couple of, maybe one or two crazy guys who would just go slamming into a crowd of people, but most of the people in what they now call the mosh pit then were really very gentle, just kind of gently bumping into each other. And I think it later, a different type of person saw that and didn't realize that it was really done in a very gentle way. And then the kind of the tough guys, I don't know if they were, they're kind of jock, you know, guys would get into the mosh pit. And then it got dangerous, you know, people could get hurt.
Went to the Mabuhay, the first time we went to the Mabuhay, not to perform, just to go there, one of the people with us got hit by a bottle, and I think a bone came at us too, like a meat bone. So that was our first experience of being like in the audience at the Mabuhay. The first time we performed there, when we went up before the show, and we had, that's when there was a bunch of bones and stuff we had to clean up before we could do our set. So that was like also like, oh, okay.
Wow. Did you happen to see the Sex Pistols at the Winterland, their last concert? That was pretty wild. It was a lot of stuff was thrown onto the stage, and the audience, I think, really got into the spirit of just dressing oddly, and and I think the media really picked up on it. The Chronicle, I think, ran a front page story with a lot of pictures of the audience members with the torn clothes and all the stuff being tossed at the stage. There were like piles of all kind of umbrellas and I guess bottles and pieces of clothing that arced their way to the stage. And there was a lot of spitting too, apparently spitting on the band, and the band spitting back was the style then. So it was like a really like a rainstorm coming from the audience. It was pretty gross when you look back on it now and, you know, think of, you know, the kind of diseases that people can catch now. But that was before, you know, some of the serious like AIDS and
at the M at the Mabuhay. M O most L mostly P O P popcorn was mostly popcorn.
Mostly popcorn being thrown.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because they had those bowls of popcorn.
Oh, I kind of remember that. Yeah. I sort of remember that. Yeah. Well, Dirksen was very creative, as I recall, about doing things to draw the audience in. I know that the Dead Kennedys were a big draw. When the Dead Kennedys were booked there, there would be a line down the street. And I think the Avengers also, and a band called Crime. And once the Rolling Stones came to town, and someone planted a story in the media that they wanted to get back to their roots and play a local club. You know, they're tired of the big stadiums. They wanted to, you know, get in there with the sweat and the close quarters. And they had an album out at that time called, I think, Tattoo You. And Dirksen caught onto that and put an ad in the paper saying he'd booked a band called Tattoo. And the rumors went around that this was the Rolling Stones. And so I went, and there's a big line down the block, and the place was packed. It turned out it was a band composed of members of the Mutants and the Dead Kennedys, some of the punk bands. it was a great prank and kind of a hoax, but it was it worked out well for them.
H E Hey. He It Was B E Better Than The Rolling Stones.
Oh, did you see the tattoo?
Or no, but that's what his guess is. They were probably better.
They were
than
pretty
the
good.
Stones.
Yeah, the Mutants were very good. The Dead Kennedys were very good.
I H had a club. Frank, for a short period of time, we opened up an all ages club during the period of time we were performing at the Mabuhay.
Oh, you
like
did?
The late 70s. Uh-huh. Oh. We had a club on San Pablo Avenue here in Berkeley called the Blind Lemon on Bancroft and San Pablo.
I remember that. Bancroft and San Pablo.
It's now a typewriter store.
I do remember the name Blind Lemon. Yeah.
It was called the Blind Lemon before we took it. It was we had heard that its history included being a meeting place for the Communist Party, and also a club where was it Dylan had played? Like, you know,
I think that club goes
ago.
Back.
It had a history. So we were. Yeah. Pretty happy to have it, and Frank had the idea of doing an all-ages club, but this was like before there were all-age clubs, and with no drinking, of course, and no smoking.
Oh,
and these were concepts that were like, you know, new concepts, and and because we had access to the bands at the Mabuhay, we were able to book bands like the Mutants at this club.
Yeah.
And then have them
great.
Actually realize when they got there what no smoking or no drinking meant.
Oh,
it meant no smoking and no drinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Frank had to deal with stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember Sally Mutant used to like to drink and towards the end of the evening, she'd be pulling the scenery down and doing crazy things. They were real personalities. Sally Mutant and Fritz, lead singer. Yeah.
Yes.
They were a great band.
D. I. Dirk. V. G. A. Gave. Me. The. Mabuhay. We discovered the Mabuhay when Frank was directing a play about a strip club, mm-hmm. and as part of the process of preparing to put it on, he had the actresses. He got them a job at one of the lower end strip clubs on Broadway, which happened to be a few doors down from the Mabuhay.
There were a bunch there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still are.
And Frank would go for their sets so that he could. To give them pointers and direction in between their sets. We spent a lot of time on Broadway at the strip club, and it got boring real fast.
I would think so. Yeah.
So we would roam the streets just like in between their sets, and that was the Mabu. That was like in 77, and the Mabuhay was there. And so I, O, you, out. Outrageous. No, out. O-U. Our. C. F. Our friend. Jane Dornacker, who had a band, Leela and the Snakes.
I remember. They were great.
Yeah. So she had the early show there. Uh-huh. And so that's part of what got us to roam in there one day. Oh. And we met Dirk. And and Frank said, instead of Dirk seeing this crippled guy, he saw this interesting character. This is, and Frank said to Dirk, he introduced himself, and he said, "Could I do a play here? Direct a play here?" And Dirk said, "Well, give me your script, and I'll talk. I'll see." So we did have a script from a at the time popular playwright who had a hit play running in San Francisco, Rick Foster. S. T. Straight, a very straight playwright guy, who did see a crippled guy when Frank approached him and asked if he could do one of his plays. This was when this guy was very hot. And Frank saw him on the street one day and went up to him in his motorized chair and said, "Can I do one of your plays?" "Oh, sure, Frank." You know, so he gave him this play he had written about this pre-Christian Irish queen called Meb. And said, "You know, if you want to change it around," you said, Frank said, "No, I'll just do it the way you wrote it." So this is the script we gave Dirk, and Dirk said yes. And we did that play, and I think we ran two or three weekends. It was a large cast, and the cast had committed for that. And so we had to end it after the 3 weeks. And nobody came to the play. It was like an early show. What about Rick? That whole aspect of it. Well, Frank directed it in an over-the-edge manner. And so, like, for example, the war hero that was the lover of the queen, he got this lumberjack dude and had him wearing those eyes that come out on springs and glasses. And we macrame-made this very loose kind of piece that hung on him and smashed cans that were tied to it, so rattled around.
Sounds interesting.
And we had him talk like this. And there was a lot of nudity and a lot of eroticism, but Frank didn't move at all from the actual play. Like, the words were exactly as it was written. And the playwright actually came to the studio during rehearsals. J-A-N. We got Jane. He got Jane Dornacker to do the music for the play.
Oh, terrific.
And
she was very talented.
Yes. And the playwright was like, "Oh, wonderful." And then he came to the opening night of the play and saw, you know, and he just, like, walked out, you know, during the course of the play. and never said another word to us. But
oh my.
He, but it, F, I, fit, the, Mabuhay. Yeah, Dirk was just really,
really
impressed.
Did fit. Yeah.
He loved it. It was a really, really neat, fun play.
Yeah.
Pre-video. Mm-hmm. So, and he said, Frank, keep it going. But we couldn't because the cast had committed to a certain period of time. He said, mm-hmm. well, the place is yours. You come up with something. You
great.
Can do shows here.
Yeah.
And that's how we did it, because some months later, one of the people that were working with Frank in a workshop that mm-hmm. Frank had, Diane, was taking some time off from work and had like $200. She said, Frank, can we use my $200 to do something, like a creative project together?
Oh.
And he said, do you have any ideas? She said, no, what do you want to do? He said, well, I've always had a fantasy of doing a takeoff on a beauty contest, but having instead of it being about beauty, having it be about outrageous. So whoever mm-hmm. was the most outrageous won the prize.
Yeah.
So we called it the Outrageous mm-hmm. Beauty Contest, and it was a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we got Frank was actually having a hard time. We put like notices everywhere to get contestants. Got a lot of contestants. Like Diane's money was the prize. Yeah, that's how we, so you, like, you win $100 or $200 or something like that. And Frank had gone around the whole Bay Area. Mm. And gotten like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of really cool gifts donated, like restaurants, free meals for like you know, gift certificates for boutiques and haircuts and just all sorts of things. And but he couldn't find contestants that he felt were really outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what he decided to do was he was going to have to plant some contestants from our own little group of 30 people.
Yeah.
And what he told people was there are plants in this contest who are not eligible to win, but you don't know who the plants are.
So you have to
be more outrageous than everybody else if you hope to win.
Makes sense, yeah.
So that's how he upped the outrageous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had been... our typical audience was like 5 to 10 or 15 people maximum for anything we did, because we had been doing things for years, and the place was packed, like, you know, standing room only, and like the first several rows was all press, you know, with cameras.
That did get a lot of news media.
Got a lot of press, and so Dirk, of course, this is like what he wanted, an early show. So he ran backstage during the course of the show and said, make an announcement that it's a weekly event.
Frank, good with that stuff.
He was very good. And Frank, being flexible, said okay, even though we were in the middle of rehearsing Lysistrata. Frank had rewritten Lysistrata to bring back the bawdiness of the original piece. So we were fairly well into the rehearsal process, but we never did Lysistrata because we ended up doing the Outrageous Beauty Review for 3.5 years on a weekly basis.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So it really had legs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we had so much international press. We even had Reader's Digest come and interview Frank.
Oh, my.
It was like a lot of stuff.
Terrific.
That is INCRE. Oh, That's Incredible, which was a television show at the time on like a one of the major networks, came and filmed the show at 2 INC. It was too incredible for That's Incredible.
Too incredible for That's Incredible.
They were going, they're filming and filming and filming, and all of a sudden they do this, and they move the camera off of it and said...
It was really incredible.
It was too incredible.
Wow. Yeah, well, I guess network television, you know, has restrictions on it that you... you might not have in other mm-hmm. media, other freer, more public media forms.
When? Where? Can? People? See you perform?
Well, August 19th at the Plow and the Stars in San Francisco. It's on Clement Street at 2nd Avenue, and it's in the Richmond District. It's a nice part of town, and it's a nice pub. There's a free pool, and there's Guinness on tap, and it's the real Guinness. It's really an Irish place. They usually have soccer games on the television. So August 19th, I start at 9. I play 2 sets, so I'll probably be there from 9 until about 10:30 or a little later. So that's my next gig.
Yeah, if people want to find out what you do, you have a website, Paul.
Well, I have a MySpace page. Okay. MySpace.com. Yeah. The Steve Taylor,
okay,
as opposed to all the other Steve Taylors that are in the world.
Mm.
And the Plow and the Stars gig on the Wednesday night, August 19th, is free, so it's a great deal. Nice crowd there, good music, free pool, and soccer on the telly, and Guinness.
Yeah. My kind of place. That's your kind of place.
And the bar manager lady, Laura, is very charming. She's I guess I would call her the host. Of the establishment. She's very charming, and she actually has an Irish accent, so it's a very genuinely Irish pub, a friendly place.
All right. Is that it then? Okay, and tell everybody your name again.
I'm Steve Taylor Ramirez. I live in Berkeley, singer-songwriter. And my MySpace page is myspace.com, The Steve Taylor. That has my schedule. It has about 10 songs that are recorded, and has my bio and remarks that people have made about my music over the past 5 years.
Okay. Mm. Are you saying something else? S-E-C. What a L O local S show can B R I bring you. You're talking to the BTV audience again. Frank said, see what a local show can bring you.
All right.
All right.
Good point.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.